I'd like to share a little bit on peaceful rest. And we get to do that because we have a great God who wants us to rest and just comfort in Him. You know, He wants to take care of all these prayers we had. He wants to take care of them for us. So because of that, we can live a pretty darn good life. So Matthew chapter 11 is where we'll start. And we're going to start in 28, verse 28. And this is Jesus Christ talking. Got the red letters working here. But this is a really sweet three verses here. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Just that verse alone, we can live our lives by. If we turn to God and His Son, Jesus Christ, when we labor, that labor means to fatigue by hard work, to toil, to be wearied. And, you know, this life provides a lot of that for every individual alive. But Christ says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," overburdened with spiritual anxiety is part of that definition, I guess. "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." And that rest is a repose, is to be exempt from all the junk and what they say, muck and mire of the world. We can be exempt to that if we look to God, as we look to Him and His Son and all He accomplished for us. And then it goes on to say, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And it's easy, it gets easy when we rely on Him, rely on our Father. In verse 29, that rest, I already said that already, so I don't have to say it again. It's to be exempt. Be exempt from all the junk and crap, the anxiety, the devilishness of the world. So that's pretty good. That's a good start, right? Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 13. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ." So we're not afar off anymore. We're made near because of all of Christ's accomplishments. "For He is our peace, who," I didn't see those two, sorry. "For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of our the partition between us." And that word peace is just a wonderful word. He is our peace, mean he is our health. He is our prosperity. He is our rest as we look to Him. And it means to be set at one. So you know the old expression, at one with the whatever, at one with the, when you're playing sports, you're at one with the ball, or at one with blah, blah, blah. Well, we're at one with the best thing we could ever be at one with. We're at one with the Father when we rely on Him. Pretty cool stuff. Verse 15, "having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace." So we don't have enmity. There's nothing between us and our Father anymore. There's just a straight communication. He's not mad at us. He's not upset with us. He loves us. And verse 16, "and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." So it's gone. It's slain. There's no enmity. "And came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." So we have great access to this great God who wants to take care of each and every one of our needs. All the things we pray for today, all the things we pray for throughout the day, God wants to take care of it for us. because he loves us. You can go to Isaiah 54. Oh, Ecclesiastes, Isaiah 54. And we're just going to read verse 10. I thought this verse was a wonderful mind picture of God's goodness and his love and his peace towards us. It says, "For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that have mercy on me." So God's kindness and his peace. A mountain can go away, right? Shall depart, the hills can be removed, but God's peace and his kindness is never removed from us. Pretty wild stuff. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 23 and 24. I think that's it, yep. And I love this verse, peace first. It says, "And the very God of peace," not the God of peace, but the very God of peace, "sanctify you, that sets you apart perfectly, holy. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then, look at this. "Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it." So God doesn't just tell us these wonderful things, like, you know, the God of peace sanctify us, he's the mountains can go away and the hills, but his kindness won't. Not only he just doesn't say it, he's faithful to what he says, and he will perform it for us. Pretty wonderful. We can trust him. That's how faithful God is. In Psalm 37, Psalm 37, and in verse 37. Oh, India paper's giving me trouble here. Oh, this is a great verse. Mark, the perfect man, not Mark the name, but Mark, the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Mark to means observe, the perfect man, a man that walks by God's spirit, who upholds God's promises, who uphold God's word. We're supposed to observe that. And then the end of that, for the end of that man is peace. And again, that peace is a happy, it's prosperity, it's health, and it's safety, and it's rest. That's a great place to end up if you're going to do this great word. You're going to go by this great Bible. Romans chapter 8. Verse 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And that's a great way to be too. We don't want to have the mind of the carnalness, I guess if that's a word, of this world. We want to put off those things of the world, again, that the world makes it mightily available to us to think all these weird negative thoughts. But God has many more other things that we can think to be blessed and to have peace. Where is it? "But to be spiritually minded is life and peace." And that peace is peace till the fullest. You can't get any more peaceful than you can with God. It's peace to the fullest. And that's what we want. That's what we want to do in our lives. In James chapter 3, Hebrews James chapter 3, going to start in verse 13 and go to the end. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." So that's the wisdom that we don't want to adhere to. We don't want to have it take hold of our lives because it's earthly, sensual, and devilish. Unless you're into that, then go ahead. But I would think if you're here, you're not into that. For, verse 16, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." And that's what the adversary has, that's what his plan for people is. Confusion and every evil work. But, verse 17, thankfully, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated." It's easy to be put in our lives. "Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So that's what we want to do. We want to go to God's peace. We want to be sown in righteousness instead of sown in disorder and evil and all the other junk. Worldly wisdom lends to envy and strife, but godly wisdom lends to peace, rest, and good fruit. And that's good stuff. Back to Isaiah, chapter 55 this time. Psalm, Proverbs, Isaiah. Isaiah 55, verse 11. Oh, these are great. 11 through 13. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." Those are the things that are going to be lead us forth as we look to God, as we look to his word, and not look to the carnalness of the world. "Be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing." So not only do these mountains move, but they start singing. "Before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Because God's kid's there. That's what we are. We're God's royalty, like I think Perry prayed. What a great mind picture. These trees, they just, when we step into it, we're here, you know, hey, they're here, clap, ah. "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree." And if you want to take a look at a myrtle tree, go look by my truck. There's a beautiful myrtle tree that's blooming right now. "And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." So God's not going to cut us off. He's so happy that we take heed to his word and that we want to do the things that he has for us. In Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. "Behold, God is my salvation. God is my victory, my deliverance. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation." So as we keep looking to him, he's our salvation. He's our victory. And what better victorious thing can we put our trust in than God? Can't. There's no other being or entity that's going to be as good as God is. Romans 14. Romans 14 and verse 19. Here we go. It says here, "Do let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace." And which things make for peace? God and His Word. You know, the things in His Word. And things wherewith one may edify another. And you think about that. If we're following after the things which make for peace, then the words that we speak to each other are going to edify and not cut down. Go to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16, verse 7. Oh, this is great. And you all know this, but it says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with them." And I thought, how do we please the Lord? By doing His will, right? So we please the Lord by doing God's will. And what happens when we do His will? Yeah, that, but we get blessed. We get our needs taken care of. We get, you know, our everyday life taken care of because we're doing His will. And then that blesses Him. And then in Philippians chapter 4, Can't go away without reading this. When we're talking about comfort and peace and rest, this is the what do they call those things? I don't know. I'll think of it. But anyway, Philippians chapter 4. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord." That longed for is greatly loved. We have a God that greatly loves us. And that joy and crown is a symbol of honor. So not only does He love us, but He honors us. "Long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Iodas and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." And then we know that verse 6, "Be careful" means to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So He doesn't want us to be anxious, but He wants us to go to Him. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So this peace that is so wonderful that we can't even fathom it is going to keep our minds through Christ Jesus. And then it says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue and if there any praise, think on these things." So God gives us what we need to think about so we can not be anxious, so now we cannot be discouraged. And then in verse 9, it says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And that "shall" means absolutely He's going to be with us. And then we just got to keep thinking on these wonderful things and know that God's taking care of us. Simple. Amen?
Amen.